Hello, and welcome to Teen Talk Online.
Welcome to Teen Talk, brought to you by Contact Community Services. This program is dedicated to discussing your issues and promoting teen voices for good choices. We want to hear what you have to say, so call our listener comment line at 1-800-245-TEEN. That's 1-800-245-8336. Listen to us online. You can find a link to our Facebook page and on our website, teentalkradio.org.
Hello and welcome to Teen Talk. I'm Jess, and today I'm joined by teen hosts Katie and Dylan. Our show topic for today is teen cancer. Coming up, we'll discuss how to be a support to someone with cancer, preventing cancer and the dangers of online diagnosis, and how to get help for yourself and loved ones. And a bit later, we'll be joined by Leah from Teens Living with Cancer. So why is this topic something you guys wanted to discuss?
For me personally, I just think it's a very relevant topic to our society today. There's no getting around the so-called C word. I mean, there's so many people living with cancer, and I feel like at some point in your life, you're going to be affected by cancer with one way or another, whether you personally have it yourself or it's a friend or family member who has it. So I think it's important to talk about the different signs of cancer and the way you can deal with it once you have someone living with it.
It interested me because I wanted to sort of help be a voice to the people who are afraid of trying to seek help for cancer.
I feel like a lot of kids are just scared to seek help for cancer, especially, I mean, if you're younger, you may not even notice it, but if you're a teenager and you notice that something may be off with your body, once you, you know, actually go to the doctor and go through with it to see if something is wrong, it's a lot more, well, it becomes real in general, and it's just so much more terrifying that way, opposed to just playing it off and pretending it doesn't exist.
One thing you don't want to do, though, is try to, you don't want to self-diagnose yourself on the internet.
Definitely. That is just going to get you more than scared.
Yeah. You're going to find not good things on the internet.
Yes. Best advice for that is if you feel like you're having a serious problem with your health, seek professional medical help as soon as possible.
Or at least an adult, a caring adult.
So as Kitty said earlier, you will most likely have someone in your life you will be affected by cancer in some way, shape, or form. Do you guys, I don't know if you guys have had any personal experiences, but how would someone be a support to someone with cancer?
I feel like if I myself had cancer, I would really hope that I had a strong support system that stayed positive, because I do best in negative situations when people keep me smiling and laughing and realizing that, you know, life is going to go on no matter what, even worse come to shove. There's still positive things in life, and I think just keeping that healthy mindset, it's been proven in different studies that it really can help your physical health as well.
What I've noticed is that, like, sometimes people with cancer, they don't like it when people, like, overdo things for them. Like, they go out of their way all the time for them. Like, sometimes they don't want that.
Yeah.
They want to be
treated normally.
Exactly.
Because then that's just, like, a slap in the face how they can't.
Yeah.
They can't do everything that they used to be able to do for themselves.
Yeah, certain things that they enjoy.
Yeah. So it's important to, I feel like, keep that balance between being supportive but not overbearing.
It could be a challenge.
Definitely.
Another thing that I think to be friends with someone or be a support system for someone is make sure that there's humor included in the relationship with that person. Everything can't be so serious all the time.
Yes.
So when I was born, I had a birthmark on the top of my ear, and the doctor said that it was just probably a fatty deposit of some sort, just extra skin that was on the top of my ear. And then in seventh grade, a boy who was in my grade was sitting behind me on the bus and said, "Hey, what's that bump on your ear?" So of course, I went home and I said, "Mom, let's get this checked out." We went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Well, we can either do a biopsy or cut it off," and my dad decided to cut it off, sent it to the lab, and it came back as cancer. I don't remember the name of it because I was 12 and it was already off, so I wasn't paying attention very much, but it was a form of skin cancer that if I left it on there any longer, it could have actually taken over my entire head.
Oh my gosh.
So yes.
Wow.
So what happened after that? Did you have to do anything in addition?
After that, I didn't have to go through chemotherapy or anything because the tumor was completely removed. They stitched it up and said come back in 3 weeks or whatever to remove the stitches. And that was pretty much it. It could come back, but not in the form it did. If it did come back, it would be in my blood. And I've been doing blood tests for other reasons, and they haven't no signs of it, so I'm clear.
So are there other preventative steps that you need to take? Like, you're very fair skinned, so
yes.
do they really hammer home the sunscreen?
Yes, very much, especially, and I never did it as a kid, was put sunscreen on the top of my ears, and every time I go down to my family who lives in South Carolina, I always have to, there's like a pound of sunscreen just on my ear alone, plus everything else. So my family is very sunscreen oriented. Definitely. We always have sunscreen with us.
Well, thank you for sharing that story with us. I think that is just a great tool for kids to use to just have that strength to get something checked out that they feel is not going quite right with their body.
Definitely.
I have a couple different experiences, but usually like during the summer, I mean, I get really, really, really sunburnt. And so sometimes people get worried about me because I get like so sunburnt. And they're like, Dylan, you don't want skin cancer? And I'm like, Anyway, my second story is,
wait. I'm stopping the story there. So do you wear sunscreen ever?
Well, like, I do. I try to a lot. And this one time when I went to Florida, I think I was like 14, 13, somewhere in there. We were like on the ocean and stuff, and we were going like in the water, and my sister was like, here, I'll spray some sunscreen on your back. And she just did a quick little, like a Z shape. And she's like, all right, go play. See ya, go swim. And I did. And I had a great time. And then I had like this giant white Z on my back, and then everything else was just beet red.
Oh my god.
Oh, Dylan.
Was it painful?
It was very itchy. It wasn't even painful. Like, it was warm to touch. My face was like covered in blisters. That's different though.
Oh man.
But my everything else on the plane ride was just so itchy and unbearable.
Oh my gosh. I remember one time I was in Florida and I was tanning. I was, I want to say 7 or 8 years old.
It's like the worst place to go tan.
Back when I had those portable CD player things, you know what I'm talking about? They're like the circle.
Yeah. I always wanted one.
So I was listening to that and I fell asleep and it was on my stomach and I was wearing like my little girl bikini and I wake up like an hour or so later and I just didn't have any sunscreen on yet.
Oh,
but I like woke up with this big circle.
It's terrible.
So yeah, I think just as a parent, for kids out there, it's important that your parents are very strict about sunscreen with you. It's better to wear sunscreen and feel that uncomfortable stickiness.
It's so bad. Like, you can see the clear lines on my skin where the sunburn stops and ends.
Yeah, a lot of little kids hate sunscreen. Like, I babysit a lot, and kids just, like, refuse to put it on.
Okay, but it's so important. Greasy.
Yeah.
It's so, like, slimy. That's why I don't really like it that much. I mean,
and I know you said parents to watch out, but
yes.
I remember when I was in seventh grade and I went to someone else's house and they didn't make me put sunscreen on and I got sun poisoning that night. And now I have my shoulders are covered in freckles from ever since seventh grade, same year.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. I used to see little girl Jess being like, you and your kids really should be wearing sunscreen.
I know, I thought that's where the story was going to go.
You know, the thing is, like, because it was a pool party. It was at the end of the year pool party, and she was putting sunscreen on her kids, but I was like, nah, I don't need to, even though, you know.
Oh my god!
What had happened? And I was like, no.
I had skin cancer. I'm immune now.
I was like, yeah, I'm fine. So, yeah.
Another reason why I was interested in this is because my mom took so much inspiration from it. Was because I wasn't even born yet, and my cousin had cancer, and he was like 7. Mm-hmm. And he had leukemia. It gave her a lot of strength throughout her life to see him like go through all of that, and it was still an inspirational time for her. Mm-hmm. So
it puts a lot of things into perspective
for
you to see someone go through that, especially someone you love. I know personally, if it were to happen, someone that I care so much about, I would just always feel like, wow, I wish like I could be going through that instead of them. And that's what my mom used to always say to me when I was sick. She would always say, I wish it was me instead of you. And that's, I've like kind of like adopted that trait from her. Mm-hmm. So it's just so, it's so sad to think about someone you love potentially getting that hurt.
It's amazing seeing them smile too. Like, knowing someone with cancer, like, even though that's a terrible thing to go through, like, they're some of the happiest people in the outcome sometimes.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, there's just no choice but to stay positive at that point.
And I feel like sometimes they really count their blessings after they've made it through something like that, and that's what makes them so positive. To wrap that part up, to be a support to someone with cancer, stay positive. Don't, like, go constantly go out of your way for them.
Yeah.
Don't overdo.
Don't overdo it. And make sure to keep humor in the relationship.
Right.
Definitely.
If someone is listening right now and they're scared that they might have cancer, what do you think they should do?
Talk to an adult about it. Someone that they can trust.
Get certified medical help.
Don't go online and self-diagnose.
Yeah.
Because we all know if you go into a symptom checker and you type, I have this, this, and that, I've got a cold, sore throat, blah, 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 one of the outcomes will become cancer, most likely.
Oh, yeah.
So do not listen to that.
There are so many different kinds of cancers, so there's one of them is probably going to show up.
Do you guys know of any ways that you can prevent cancer?
The big one that we've kind of touched on already for skin cancer is tanning beds are a big problem. As well as not wearing sunscreen when you're outside for long durations.
And I want to make a point on that. It's not just kids and teenagers. It's, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, so on and so forth, all the way.
No matter how old you get, it's still very important to protect your skin.
There's, like, a lot of myths about, like, eating chocolate or, like, dark chocolate and, like, drinking red wine. Like, I don't know how credible those are, so I wouldn't totally invest your time into preventing cancer.
Yeah, definitely. Smoking is definitely a big thing. Smoking and alcohol.
And other substances as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smoking is a big one.
Definitely. There's a poster in my nurse's office that has a pack of cigarettes, and it says cancer sticks on the pack. And I think that was a very powerful message. Yes.
I feel like it's just also very important not to live your life in fear that, oh no, one day I'm going to get cancer. Or, oh no, one day someone I love is going to get cancer.
And even if you have cancer.
Even if you do, because, you know, everyone in life goes through problems and everyone overcomes them.
Take the time that you do have and do what you love with it.
Yes,
exactly. Definitely. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about teen cancer. And we will be joined by our guest, Leah, from Teens Living with Cancer. I'm Jess, with co-hosts Katie and Dylan.
Got a problem and need someone to talk to? Call Contact 24 hours a day at 315-251-0600. Calling Contact is free, anonymous, and confidential. If you want to join our conversation, find Teen Talk CNY on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. You can also call our listener comment line at 1-800-245-TEEN. That number again is 1-800-245-8336. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Teen Talk. I'm Jess, your show host, with co-hosts Katie and Dylan. We've been discussing teen cancer, and now we are joined by Leah from Teens Living with Cancer. Leah, would you mind telling us more about what your organization, Teens Living with Cancer, does?
Well, we provide support and resources to teens and young adults who are diagnosed with cancer from the time that they are diagnosed to well beyond. Because truly, you know, when you're diagnosed with an illness like cancer, it's a long haul, and it can sometimes be very difficult even after someone is in remission or back to school or back to college. It becomes a very difficult time because it's getting back to the new normal.
What's the about age range that TLC deals with?
Primarily with our teen program, we go from ages 13 to 22, so that kind of covers high school to college, but we've recently expanded our services to a young adult population, so that's older than 22, you know, past college age.
How do young people find your services? Do they self-refer? Do they come from doctors? How do they find you guys?
A lot of different places. Primarily, we are a resource that is well-known by hospitals, so we get hospital referrals from social workers and sometimes doctors that know us very well. Here in Rochester, where our program is based, our hospitals are very familiar with it for their teen and young adult patients. And in Buffalo, where we also have a chapter of the Teens Living with Cancer program, so we are in Rochester and Buffalo.
Did you guys say that you were interested in opening up one in Syracuse?
Well, there's been talk of opening another chapter, and certainly, you know, Syracuse would be a great place to provide resources to teens. As of now, we are looking to open the next new chapter, and we're just waiting for support from an institution that wants to serve a teen population.
What kind of activities do you do with these teenagers to help give them hope and just see the bright side of everything which is going on?
We do a lot of different really cool activities. They're centered around the things that teens like to do. For the most part, a lot of our activities just could be as simple as a fun movie night, a game night. We often have activities where we encourage teens to bring a friend. So for the most part, our activities are centered basically for the teens themselves who are diagnosed with cancer. But often we find that a lot of kids end up saying, you know, I had so much fun here, I want to introduce my friend to what we do here.
Yeah.
We do retreats. We've had longer programs, like a leadership program. We have done lots of really cool stuff. We have done yoga. We've had a fitness program, and we actually have another fitness program coming back up this winter, both in Rochester and Buffalo. And that's primarily to help teens who are trying to get back into shape after really having the effects and the impact of cancer treatment, and get back to their normal activities and feel more like themselves.
So when can we get that here?
Well, you know what? That's a great question. Really, it's about the support of communities trying to bring it to that area. That's exactly what happened in Buffalo. There was a lot of community support and support from Roswell Park Cancer Institute, who wanted us at their hospital, and that's one way. You know, word of mouth has a real strong impact on the kinds of things that that happen. You know, the things that transpire in a community, and especially for an organization like ours that is really working to partner with other organizations. Maybe even, you know, somebody listening in tonight on Teen Talk can have some insight about bringing it there.
Yeah, well, you definitely have our support.
Definitely. So what got you interested in pursuing this job?
That's a really great question, because that leads to the heart and soul of why I do what I do. I was sick as a teenager, and I was diagnosed quite late as a young adult with a form of cancer called thyroid cancer. And I had basically had a situation where doctors missed some real crucial things that that led to me being diagnosed very late. And so I was a young adult, and I was in the workforce, and I was just trying to figure out how to get back on my feet. And I right when I thought I was getting back on my feet, I was diagnosed with a second cancer. Mm. So that second cancer was an entirely different cancer, and it was called Hodgkin's lymphoma, a very common cancer for teens and young adults. So I have a lot of experience in terms of understanding what it's like to feel like you're the only one who's going through a really incredibly challenging situation and think that you're the only one, and in fact find out later on that you're not. And that's the situation for many of our young survivors. They look around and they say, well, I don't see anyone else who looks like me. I don't see anybody else, and I can't connect with them, and nobody can understand what I'm going through. And that is really isolating. It can make you feel just so alone. So when I was getting myself back on track, I realized that I had a purpose, and I had to find other people like myself and see what we could do. And I found Lauren Spiker, who's the founder of Melissa's Living Legacy Teen Cancer Foundation, which is actually the overarching organization that houses the Teens Living with Cancer program. And Lauren started this organization about 12, 13 years ago. And ever since then, they have grown into the number one provider for adolescents and young adults with cancer, of resources and programs. And as far as we know, we're the only one doing that, so specifically for teens and young adults with cancer in this area. That's important for people to realize that there is a resource for a teenager who is looking around at that room and saying, there isn't anybody like me. Well, the real truth is there is someone like you.
That's awesome. Wow. That's like so inspirational, I feel. Just having that support there for teenagers going through this just means the world to them, and it makes their lives, their parents and friends' lives, so much easier knowing that they have this support system helping them out.
It does. It does. And in a way, we become a surrogate family to those teens who are really reaching out at a time where things feel really lonely. And our Teens Living with Cancer program is often referred to as TLC for short. I'm sure you saw that on the website. Kids, you know, gravitate toward calling it TLC. And a lot of our kids call TLC family. There are friendships that are made through this group that are unlike any other friendships I've probably ever been able to witness in my lifetime. And it's really, truly incredible to see what happens when you break down all the barriers of different points of life, where you come from, what school you go to, whether you were the kid who was in the band or you were the kid who was the jock. You have something in common that really breaks down all those walls, and I see friendships of kids that would never sit at the lunch table with each other that become best friends through this. It's really, truly remarkable.
We were talking earlier, Dylan had a really great point, Leah, about there's just a lot of myths about, you know, if you eat chocolate, then you might not get cancer. If you drink wine, you might not get cancer. If you use a microwave, you might get cancer. So we were just kind of talking about, you know, what are some of those myths that you hear about? And
well, you know, I think a lot of the information that we get out there is really coming from a lot of different places, especially with the internet. So you really have to be very careful about, you know, what you're taking in. The one thing I can tell you to dispel all those myths is that, you know, when we try to search for a common denominator about who gets cancer and who doesn't, many times, and especially in the teen and young adult populations, it's not necessarily something from any kind of behaviors. Most teens aren't, you know, having the risk factors that a lot of adults do that kind of connect cancer diagnoses. But when you really come right down to it, look around a room, and so many people are impacted by cancer, and it's hard to really say what that is. There aren't any firm and fast answers, but there are a lot of things that can help you avoid certainly becoming someone who is diagnosed with cancer. And certainly in the teen and young adult population, I want to drive this point home really hard. Things like tanning in a tanning bed. If there's one thing you as a teen do to protect yourself against cancer, melanoma is a fast growing cancer in the teen and young adult population. If there's one risk factor you as a young person can protect yourself against, don't go in a tanning bed.
We talked a little bit about sunscreen earlier too, so that's really good information.
And the one other question that we had is, what role does nutrition play in preventing cancer?
Nutrition is really important. I can't speak from a medical aspect of nutrition, but certainly I can say that, you know, when you've got a body that has a healthy immune system, that can protect you, and most medical people will tell you that that does play a role. Certainly I can't answer that to the extent that someone of science can, but I can tell you this. We provide programs for our teen and young adult survivors that help teach them how to eat better and how to make healthier choices with nutrition.
This has been so valuable for us. I hope that we'll have a chance to talk to you again sometime in the future.
Well, I would absolutely love to come back on. Certainly, maybe in the near future, I could tell you in a future show about how you might help make a difference, what viewers out there can do to help make a difference for us.
Do you want to quick plug that?
Absolutely. One of the things that we do to help fund the programming that we do is through our Rochester Goin' Bald for Bucks program. Goin' Bald for Bucks was started in Buffalo, and they nicely are collaborating with us to bring that to Rochester, work with schools to fundraise through this program called Goin' Bald for Bucks. What schools do is they get together, participants shave or cut their hair, and they fundraise through online websites, and they have the awesome privilege of knowing that they are helping fund programming that serves patients, and especially patients of their own age.
So if somebody wanted to get connected with that, they could do that through your website?
Yep, you could go to the teenslivingwithcancer.org, and right up at the top of the page, it tells you how to go bald for bucks. There's a little icon at the top right. So if you go to teenslivingwithcancer.org, you'll see the bald for bucks logo.
Very cool.
Can we go bald for bucks at any time, or is it like a...
Absolutely. I've seen the wheels turning. Basically, schools that sign up, they go through a process. I talk to them, pretty user-friendly, and I'm pretty accessible to talk to you about how to plan that. And we do it throughout the school year. I book dates of many different schools. And absolutely. So I would love, if you have even the slightest curiosity, give me a call, and I would love to talk to you about it.
That might be a good Kickstarter for the Syracuse chapter.
Mm-hmm. I think that might. I have a feeling you're a group of motivated young people.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
So that was amazing conversation with Leah. We just want to say thank you again, Leah Noonan from Teens Living with Cancer. And we would like to wrap up our show by sharing some quotes.
My quote is, "Yesterday I dared to struggle, today I dare to win." And that is from Bernadette Darlin. And I chose it because it inspired me.
Mine is from Eleanor Roosevelt. "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. you must do the thing which you think you cannot do. And I really liked this quote because it's inspirational, and it's just like kind of listening to one of those pump up songs. Like, it just gets you going, like, yeah, like, I can do this.
I love
it's
the that.
Eye of the tiger.
Okay, and my quote is, don't dwell on the little things, live life to the fullest, stop worrying, just live. And it's actually on a sign in my living room. I do not know where that came from, and it's just been on my wall for as long as I can remember. That wraps up our show for this week. Be sure to join us next time. Thanks to all our listeners, and a special thanks to our guest Leah Noonan from Teens Living with Cancer. I'm Jess with co-hosts Katie and Dylan. Background production for this show by Rachel Tarr.
You've been listening to Teen Talk. Be sure to tune in again next week. For show announcements and other information, find Teen Talk CNY on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening and have a great week. Teen Talk is a production of Contact Community Services and is made possible by a grant from the Offices of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services.